simulation, operations analysis, systems engineering, engineering management, and business development. Mitchell started his career by entering the U.S. Navy through the Nuclear Power Officer Candidate Program following his graduation from Arizona State University. From 2001 to 2013, he worked in key roles at Lockheed Martin Mission
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see, we'll begin with the slides. Just really quickly, I'd like to also say Mr. Steven Liebholz could not be here today. He is responsible. He is the owner, operator, proprietor of Tech Labs, my friend, mentor, and colleague. And much of the work in these slides is due to the hard work that he has done. Hopefully, you'll have some good takeaways here. The Systems Engineering Research Center, just really quickly, is a Department of Defense University-affiliated research center. It exists at Stevens Institute of Technology, which actually runs that contract and program for the Department of Defense. Two unique things about it. Please do visit our website, and you'll discover all this information. It is the only university-affiliated research center that is funded at the level of the Department of Defense. All of the others come from the service components, Army, Navy, Air Force, or NASA, or whoever is funding them. Secondly, it is the only university-affiliated research center that is a collaboration of more than just one university. So we have the power of over 20 different universities, all of the best and brightest in systems engineering in the country. That includes MIT, it includes the University of Alabama, Huntsville, it includes Carnegie Mellon, and the list goes on and on. So I don't want to state all 20 plus universities right here, but of course, Stevens Institute, also a growing university there. So what is the talk, the actual presentation today is on mining the cloud. And what that really means is you want to search large, continuously updating narrative data collections. And obviously these collections grow in size and great size over time. Currently, I mean, on your home systems, you're looking at data that's stored in gigabytes now because memory and drive space is cheap. When you're talking about cloud sizes, you're going in terabytes, petabytes, and exabytes, and you want to take the information that you could find and integrate that pertinent information. So those data collections, of course, include all the documents that we normally create, messages, emails, web pages, etc. So, of course, the problem. Current web and cloud mining techniques are inefficient. And what do I mean by that? Well, very simply, they're time-consuming. They take too long to explore and analyze all of the data that's available. Also, they're time late. It takes too long to convert that actionable data into information for use by the operator. So in other words, user consumption, apprehension, and in the case of Department of Defense or business operations, you want to do it in timely action. You want to control your processes. They're also ineffective. So that really means they leave money, in other words, relevant data on the table. Also, they spend a lot of time presenting irrelevant data. Lastly, they're inaccurate. And what I mean by that is they're not truly based on statistical methods, processes, and techniques that are available. They don't take advantage of the newest techniques in artificial intelligence and machine learning. So I want to really pose these as questions and challenges to both the development and user communities. So if we look at this as the big problem space, how do we eat this digital elephant? Well, the jokes don't get any better, folks. One bite at a time. Of course, you could do multiple bites at a time. But why don't we change that paradigm? Instead of looking at it of how are we going to eat this whole elephant, which parts of the elephant do we really want to eat? Which are the most appealing, appetizing, tasty, and delicious to us? Which pieces are going to give us the most relevant information? So what does pertinent or relevant information really mean? So in operations and intelligence scenarios in Department of Defense, the cloud, where they're storing all their information, is continuously updated. It's excessively large. We found that manual search in that cloud over documents is ineffective. Okay, for all of those reasons I stated before, plus, if you look at the rates, you could scan 75 documents per hour as a human. So typical narrative data collections and operations are extremely large, as we stated. Those emails, documents, memos, all of the transcriptions. 100,000 plus files are commonplace, and that's the low end, but typically you end up with 500,000, half a million files or more. So just simple math. 100,000 documents divided by 75 documents per hour, well, that's a month and a half plus of time. I don't have a month and a half to wait for the answer, certainly in military operations. If I look at 500,000 documents, I don't have 9 months to wait, folks. I need the answer now. So, other problems with the manual review, we're looking at that cost. Gartner estimates the cost of reviewing 1 gigabyte of electronically stored information is $18,750. We don't want to spend that much money. Okay, human error, reviewers only tag the document the same way 65% of the time. So if I give you a document and a week late and you tag it, a week later I give you that same document, 65% of the information on average that you tagged the first time will be tagged the second time, but the rest is missing where you've tagged other items. Okay, and lastly, time, the manual review is slow, as we stated previously. So one of the solutions here in document review is, of course, word search. So NIST did a study, and they said that although the searchers believed they had found 75% of the relevant documents and data within those documents, the recall was actually only 20%. So the art of using word search as a method of automated and correlation process is really not that effective. Our studies have also verified this. We've seen that about 20% of relevant data is found, and about 35% of irrelevant selections are found as well. So this goes back to receiver-operator characteristics. These were studies that were done in World War II, and it's the curves from the operating experience of using radar and radio. Radio operators learn that when you turn up the signal, you also turn up the noise. You do this in daily life. You don't get a good signal on your cell phone. You're not getting good reception. You can't hear the person on the other end. It's staticky. You turn up the volume. Well, guess what? You also turned up the static too, right? So you are faced with that inevitable trade-off of modern signal processing, because that increased probability of detection means also increased false positive rates. So that trade-off really is shown on a typical rock curve, the red line showing your line of no consequence there. The slope of 1 really shows if you were to do a random guess. Okay, so if you end up with a blue line below the red line, you're better off doing random guess. If you end up having a blue line, meaning artificial intelligence or your processing techniques, your searching techniques, above the red line, you're doing better than random. And of course, we always look for that knee in the curve where our true positive rate really breaks down and we have law of diminishing returns. So this is just one example. Also, Boolean operators we found to be limiting, okay? Especially in doing, these are results from our own experience and studies. Only documents containing keywords or phrases are selected by keyword search. The connotations, the meaning behind those words are really not discovered. So also, synonymy is not considered in word search. So in other words, we've had documents where we've done reviews, and invoice may be missing, but the word tender is present. Well, it really means the same thing. We're paying somebody. We're providing them money. Okay, so this is really an application for artificial intelligence. Okay, and instead, we want to use statistical approaches to augment the word search capabilities. We want to use an iterative supervised learning process that's sensitive to the statistics of word usage. And we assume that numerical data, of course, is important because numbers generally give us lots of meaning. Now, for narrative data, we compare the frequency of words and phrases with their use in the typical English language. We could use predictive coding techniques to enhance this, which is derived from the field of artificial intelligence. It's a 40-plus-year-old field. So again, I stress that newer techniques are not used, but even when we look back at existing techniques that have been in existence for many years, they're still not used today to improve the capabilities. The machines will learn from the data supplied by the collectors, and it continues to improve over time. So it becomes more and more accurate. What you end up with is a significant cost savings on the order of 70 to 90%. That's both in time and in money, okay? So this has general acceptance by courts and lawyers in terms of legal review of documents, and this has been tested in the realm of legal documents. So very briefly, our conclusions, word search as it exists is ineffective, not a good way to go. However, even in modest-sized operations, due to the exponential growth in data collection and storage, we still don't want to use that manual linear word search review. We want to use computers to augment The process of word search by improving the statistical and artificial intelligence techniques that they use in doing this. And due to the internet and the business of our engineering, we have unprecedented access to information in the intelligence community, in multiple communities, because this is really affecting the way legal, medical, financial, and other fields are able to access information and documents. So with that, I'll just throw out a couple shameless plugs. If you'd like more information, we do have a white paper on this topic, which goes into much more detail than these slides. Mr. Leibholz, again, is affiliated with Tech Labs. There's the website. You could find me either at stevens.edu, or you could go to the CERC UARC, University Affiliated Research Center.org, and my information is there as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.